from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester.
Welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Glad to be with you here on a Monday, a big Monday. Our thanks to Wyatt Thompson for stopping by. It is the official start of Insider Season. We get you ready for everything. So many games broadcast here on KFH. We've got a playoff chase in baseball and the Chiefs getting started. So we got insiders for everything. And we're really, really excited. This is when the show gets really fun. We'll make picks on Fridays. All kinds of good stuff. I can't wait. It might, you know, it might be 100 degrees outside, but it is starting to feel a little like fall. We have one giveaway going right now, our text to win for some HTO. We will give away our concert tickets later this hour. If you're a music fan of the same taste as me, you're going to love this one. So stay tuned for that opportunity. That'll be coming a little bit later. The IHOP hotline is open for you, 869-1240. IHOP excited to bring back its all-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. Jad Chambers is there manning that, taking your calls. You can also leave us your video comments on YouTube, on X, on Facebook. You can reach out to us directly on social. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected, now or in the future. Good example of leaving your video comments. Rodney had a question about, you know, for Wyatt Thompson about the Cats. We're able to take that and then ask them that questions. It's a really cool thing that we can do. And we appreciate everybody participating in the show, however it is that you want to. We got you to the Chiefs news on Juju Smith-Schuster. Breaking news right before we go on the air. The Chiefs have signed Juju Smith-Schuster. Roster decisions are coming. We'll see what this means long term. We'll see what this means for the rest of the roster. We'll see if it has any bigger implications probably pretty soon, whether it be a Rashi Rice suspension, whether it be a Hollywood Brown injury update, or whether it just be that they liked Juju Smith-Schuster and they thought he could add to the room. We'll get that news. We'll keep an eye on it. We'll let you know. We'll talk more about it in our next segment. Right now, though, Tommy, let's talk about the Royals. They dropped 2-3 to Philadelphia. That doesn't concern me all that much. They are now three games behind Cleveland. And in the division, and when you play Cleveland seven times, including a doubleheader today, we watched that. Boston also lost a bunch of games over the weekend. So the Royals actually have gained ground on Boston despite losing two games to Philadelphia. So they're now 4.5 up in the wild card. They are tied with the Twins. So all things considered, losing 2 out of 3 to Philadelphia, not a ton of damage done, not too worried about it. What is worrisome, though, Tommy, and I texted you this over the weekend, Their bullpen's unusable at this point. Unusable at this point in the middle part of it. You go back and look at this weekend. Yesterday, Bubich was okay, and the Royals were still very much in it. Zerpa comes in. He's clean, but he walks three batters. Will Smith gives up 5 runs in an inning. Garrett Hampson had a clean inning. I mean, there you go. Maybe Hampson can double.
I think
over.
That might be the only reason why they keep him on the roster, to be honest with you.
And that, which is another question for another day. And then you go to the game on Saturday. Okay. Sam Long was clean. That's a really good sign, actually. Like that is a very positive sign. And they were still in the game at that point. So they go to Long. But then comes Chris Stratton with another turd. 3 runs allowed in an inning. Will Smith has given up 7 runs in his last 2 innings, and it's worse than that. He gave up 2 in that game. Zerpa gave up a run in that game. I want to go back then to the Angels game, which was their only other loss lately. They've been, you know, they won 7 out of their last 10, but you go back to that one, and you had MacArthur come in an inning and give up 3 hits. You had Stratton give up two runs in a third of an inning. Zerpa got through that one clean, and Will Smith gave up 2 runs. So Will Smith's given up, you know, 9 runs in his last 3 innings. Stop putting him out there. There has to be replacement value somewhere for Will Smith at this point. And Stratton, Tommy, you can't, like, if you basically right now, like, if those guys go into the game, you just know the game's over, right? I mean, that's not good, right? But for a team that is very capable and has done all year long a nice job of scoring runs late and never getting out of it, right now, you're taking yourself out of these games the second you go to these arms. There have to be better options than them. And if it's not on the big league roster, it's time to call some people up, because right now they're unusable to me.
It is a domino effect, and the bullpen is bad. Don't get me wrong. They've got major, major flaws that have sort of reared its ugly head multiple times, and especially over the last few days. But the key reason that this is happening is because, at least in the last two games of the Phillies series, the starting pitching didn't get them to where they feel most comfortable. And the Royals feel most comfortable when the starting pitching gives them a lead, they hold down the opponent, and then you can go to the more high leverage, more reliable relievers like Lucas Ersig in the ninth inning. The starting pitching, both Brady Singer and Seth Lugo over the last 2 days, didn't get the Royals to a place where they felt comfortable with the pieces in their bullpen to be able to go and shut a game down. Now, I'm not trying to absolve the bullpen of any kind of blame, because yes, everything that you just mentioned is correct. They have not been good. And there are a couple of pitchers that I would be happy if I never saw them throw another pitch for the Kansas City Royals ever again. One of them is Chris Stratton. One of them is Will Smith. They've had a couple of other guys, you know, over the last few days that have been really bad. But what the Royals have been able to do, generally speaking, to compensate for the lack in the bullpen, the lack of depth in the bullpen, and the lack of effectiveness in the bullpen, has been to have their starting pitching be really, really good. But when the starting pitching is not good, right, that's when they end up having issues. Go back to the game on Saturday. You know, Brady Singer got chased out of the game, but it wasn't like the Royals were out of it. They were just down, I think, at like two or three runs. They cut the lead at one point down to two. That's what the offense will do. They'll keep you into ball games. But then, of course, the relievers come in and just completely the game gets blown wide open. You know, and Will Smith gives up the runs that he did in that one inning, and, you know, all the different things that you just listed. Had Brady Singer been able to shut down the Phillies offense, it would have been a little bit of a different story, but he wasn't able to do that. So that's a key reason why we're in this spot right now. That being said, though, it's interesting. You know, the Royals win on Friday. They lose Saturday and Sunday. So they drop 2 of 3 to the Phillies at home. They enter in a crucial doubleheader today against the Guardians. It's a crucial 4-game set overall against Cleveland. But after the game yesterday, I felt an eerie sense of calm about everything, even though the bullpen has major flaws. I wasn't in panic mode. The Phillies have a really, really good offense. Like, they're really good. They're loaded. I mean, like Bryce Harper and Castellanos and, you know, all the Bryson Stott and Alec Boehm and like all the guys that they've got offensively, they're really solid. They're one of the top offenses in Major League Baseball. And, you know, so yeah, I absolutely expected the Royals to be able to win the series. And they weren't able to do that, but it's really early on in this stretch. And I don't know. I wasn't panicked after what I saw over the weekend.
It's not panic time at all. I think singularly, though, on the bullpen, it's panic time. It's panic time because something has to be done. So if panic induces action, then yes, for the bullpen, it is absolutely panic time. Those guys cannot get outs right now. You can't use them. That's a reason for panic. They must be replaced. So in that sense, yes, things need to change. You could call that panic. You can call it whatever you want. Overall, for the team, no, because they're still in great shape and we still love the rest of the roster. The other thing, though, I think we all need to just realize right now, so starting pitching is not as good as it once was. Again, what does that mean? I think that Alec Marsh, who's going to come up today, is going to make a start. If Alec Marsh gives you a good start today, Tommy, I think for at least 2 turns through the rotation, if not for the rest of the regular season, I would like to start considering the idea of moving to a 6-man rotation. These starters need some extra rest. They are clearly gassed. They're all at innings frontiers they've never been before, and it is clearly having an effect on them. Now, they're all willing and, you know, capable of battling through at times, but if Alec Marsh is going to give you, I mean, I don't even expect quality starts, but if he's going to give you a chance to win right now, I don't have any issue with stretching everybody out just a little bit, even if it's just a couple of times through. Run a six-man rotation for a second. Give everybody a chance to sort of reload and re-energize for a playoff run. And let's see what that does. At minimum, you got to just keep Marsh up right now. And then there has to be. Like, I haven't gone and looked at Omaha and Arkansas's bullpen numbers, but there has to be somebody down there better than Will Smith and Chris Stratton are right now. There has to be. I'm willing to, you know, I'm willing to work with Zerpa. I'm willing to work with MacArthur. We can't do it with those other two guys. I mean, like, you just, like, you throw your hand. If those guys come in, you know the game's over. In the sixth inning. Philadelphia, I mean, like, it's just not even, they can't continue that way. If they're going, you know, otherwise you can only win games now where you're leading by in the sixth inning. Like, you can't do that. And it's not, look, I'm not, this isn't like animosity toward the Royals' decision-making, but their hand is getting forced and they're trying to work through guys who, quite frankly, at times have been good for them this year. And that's what sucks, right? I like both of those pitchers, quite frankly. Both of those pitchers were a part of a roster that, you know, gave me my greatest sports moment, which was finally a championship for the Texas Rangers last year. They were both on that postseason roster, but they were shaky for the Rangers last year. They're worse this year right now for the Royals. They have to be replaced. The Royals have everything on the line. They got to do it. You're entering a series now with the Guardians. You could do enough damage here to solidify your spot. Those guys cannot take the field in these games unless you're just getting destroyed middle of the game. But those guys can't take the field right now. You can't. So if they're not, and if you know that, then put somebody else on there and let's see if they can catch lightning in a bottle again. Hunter Harvey, you hope, will come back. But look at what Ursig has done, Tommy. Sometimes players, especially in the bullpen, bullpens are weird. They're wacky, can step up. Lucas Ursig wasn't even the closer for the A's, right? He was like a Swiss Army knife for them. And he's come in and become this electric closer. Let's run a couple of guys out there. Rosters are about to expand and see if there's got to be somebody in the minor league system that can give them good innings late, better innings late. You know, I can, well, I mean, it's batting practice. We'll just call it that when Will Smith is out there at this point.
One thing to keep in mind too, this week is, at least it has the potential to be a pretty critical week. And I'm not even talking about what's happening on the field. The Royals and basically any team in Major League Baseball, they've got until August 31st to basically, if they want to acquire any additional players to be on their postseason roster, they've got to be on the roster by August 31st. And so there's a couple different ways you can do that. I mean, they can, you know, still, you can still make trades between, you know, basically now and then.
You have to clear waivers.
And there are some, there are some exceptions to that. There are players that, you know, if they were signed to a minor league contract or if they haven't been on a 40-man roster at all throughout the course of the season, then they're eligible to be up for trades. So that's on the table. And then there are going to be, because this happens every year, there are going to be players that organizations will place on waivers. And a lot of those players are pending free agents and they're teams that are out of the playoff hunt. And so they're trying to clear space and that sort of thing. And there are a handful of players. Now, I don't know how high impact players they are, probably not very many, but there will be some that will be available, I would imagine, for any contender to pick up if they can, you know, put a waiver claim on them between now and then. So there are a couple of minor options that are on the table where the Royals could get, you know, potentially a reinforcement or two in the bullpen. And that would be outside of, is there anybody in Omaha or is there anybody at Northwest Arkansas that they can look at, you know, to bring up now? I do think that it wouldn't surprise me one bit if after Alec Marsh gets the start today, if the Royals keep him on the major league roster and they send somebody else down. That would not shock me because I think that Alec Marsh's value, whether or not he's starting for you, just being on your pitching staff is a clear upgrade from a couple of the bullpen arms that they currently have.
Anybody is an upgrade. Anybody. Alec Marsh certainly is. Anybody is right now. I mean, that's the point and where we are with this roster. Like, that's what I mean. Like panic time in the sense that a change must be made right now. Right now, a change must be made. I'm just going to go look at the whips right now in Omaha. I don't think you want Daniel Lynch at this point. Is he even healthy at this point? I'm not sure. But it is a very difficult proposition to consider, Tommy. What do you think is going to happen if you run out Will Smith or Chris Stratton at this point?
What do you think the outcome is? I mean, you know what's going to happen. They're going to give up runs. Like, it's not even a question about, you know, can they be effective? I think the question becomes how many runs will they give up in their outings? It's not good. And the thing about Smith is that Smith has had a couple of flashes of vintage Will Smith, but by and large, he hasn't. And especially as of late, he hasn't. Chris Stratton has just been consistently bad. I can't think of the last time that Stratton was effective coming out of the bullpen. I don't know. I'd have to go back in memory and try to think about when was the last time Chris Stratton pitched a clean inning. It's been forever.
System, and I'm so glad we have an insider coming up this week, because I see a guy named Evan Sisk down there, Tommy, who is pitching right now. Like, he is pitching effectively now. He hasn't given up a run. He's given up one run in his last like nine appearances. The guys aren't hitting him at all. Like, why isn't that guy up right now? Like, where is Evan Sisk right now? You know what I mean? And that's what, like, we got to right now, and he's got a 169 ERA and a 106 whip. Can we get him up here? Can we bring him up? I don't know what he does for the Storm Chasers. I don't know if he's their closer. I don't know what he does, but can we get him up? Can he come up? Like, where are these players? And we'll talk to the Kings of Kauffman crew tomorrow about this. But it is an absolute concern for the team right now. You can't. And again, I hate this for those pitchers. I really do, because they have stabilized and helped this team get to the point they're at. But why would you let them work out their demons right now at the big league level? Tell them to go to Omaha. Pitch them every day, right? Like, and no offense to Omaha, but who cares, right? Send these guys down and give them a directive. I want them pitching 3 days a week until they get it figured out. Maybe we can call them back up, but I don't want them working it out at the big league level.
Right. Well, and don't forget though, as I mentioned, your postseason roster, you need to have players on, I believe it's the 40-man roster, which I know a lot of these guys would be,
they'll still be on the 40.
By the end of this month. You mentioned both Evan Sisk and, I think you mentioned Stephen Cruz. Both of those guys were acquired, by the Royals in the trade that when they sent Michael A. Taylor to the Twins. And both Cruz and Sisk are in a position where they're, you know, kind of knocking on the doorstep of potentially being in the Royals bullpen. So at this point, what do you have to lose?
Breaking news, Stephen Cruz is in Cleveland as a part of the taxi squad because of the doubleheader.
Yeah. And so, like, they've both been, both Cruz and Sisk have been working in the bullpen in Omaha this year. At least Cruz is with the major league team right now. But I think it just comes back down to that question of, like, what do they have to lose? At this point, what do they have to lose from a bullpen?
Games.
Right. But making moves in the bullpen. Like,
yeah,
it's not going to get any worse. So you might as well just make these changes now in hopes that it does get better.
I don't know who the Royals, and we should, who the Royals have on their 40 man. If they have any candidates that wouldn't, that wouldn't affect it. And look, we'll go to this tomorrow, but there are guys they could remove probably from the 40 man. Jonathan Bolin, Stephen Cruz is already on the 40 man just as a note. So that's helpful. Yeah, so I'd have to go look at the numbers for the guys already on there. Anthony Veneziano is on there. Carlos Hernandez is on there. They'd probably need to get him back up. And then Jonathan Bolin is on there. So I also don't, there's a couple guys on the IL, so I don't know how that affects it. But there are names, even if you just bring up those guys who are already on the 40 that aren't going to affect anything. But I think you got it. Like Sisk isn't on there now. It's probably time to get him on there, and somebody's going to have to get removed. And I mean, okay.
I do want to, before we put a bow on this segment, I do want to give more of a bird's eye look and just a 30,000 foot view of, you know, going back to me saying that I wasn't panicked after the Royals dropped 2 of 3 to the Phillies. And I think this is really important context because it's very simple and very easy, I think, after what we saw on Saturday and Sunday, to go into sky is falling mode, you know, Chicken Little and everything is, you know, our pets' heads are falling off and, you know, all of that. But keep in mind, Cleveland and Minnesota, just like the Royals, have a losing record against teams over 500. Okay, so all three teams in the division do. In fact, the Royals have a better record against teams over 500 than both Cleveland and Minnesota currently do. I think it's Minnesota that they're like 10 games under 500 against teams that are above 500. The Royals, as we all know, are in a pretty difficult stretch right now of games. This stretch against Cleveland, of course, is crucial, and it starts today with the doubleheader. I mean, they're three games back from the Guardians right now. If you get swept by Cleveland today, then, you know, all of a sudden, it's a much larger deficit.
Sure.
So, but I'm not in panic mode right this second
because
I know that these other teams that they're chasing in the division also have losing records against really good baseball teams.
And let me clarify, too. The panic for me, it's not panic for the team. I'm not panicked about the Royals at all. Like, not even close, so far away from that. Couldn't be further away from that. But I do think when we talk about the bullpen singularly, there has to be panic because something has to be done. So, you know, define it however you want, but they cannot keep running those guys out there. They'll still have plenty of leads going into the sixth and seventh inning and be able to use the good part of their bullpen. At least now, through the trade deadline, they have a good part of the bullpen. There was a part of the season where we didn't feel good about any of the bullpen. We feel good now about three guys. Basically, for me, it's Bubich, and it's Long, and it's Urcig. Hopefully, it's Harvey, and maybe MacArthur can at least get somewhat back to form, although he's not there yet. I just don't understand the point of continuing to run Smith and Stratton out there. Zerpa has certainly not given you confidence lately. It's time to try and solidify that because you won't use those guys in the postseason. You don't think. Who knows? Again, lightning in a bottle in a bullpen is pretty commonplace, so maybe one of those guys starts to light it up. You're probably not using those guys in the postseason anyway, right? But you got to get to the postseason still. Like, you still have to get there, and the Royals have an opportunity. It's seven games against Cleveland. I don't want to see Will Smith and Stratton pitching against Cleveland. You got seven opportunities here to make some noise. And giving your offense a chance to bring you back in a game is something that has been a major strength of this team. But when your bullpen comes in and routinely gives up five runs, like, you're taking that weapon that has been such a weapon for this team out of the holster. So Royals doubleheader today. Don't want to see those guys pitch right now at the big league level. 12 o'clock coverage begins for the first game, and it's a split. It's not like a back-to-back. So you get a 12 o'clock and you get a 6 o'clock for the Royals today. Really looking forward to it. It is against a series against Cleveland. Again, it's only a problem if they're trailing. You hope that the starting pitching gets on track here. Cole Reagan's not great his last time out. He actually was the losing pitcher of that Angels game we mentioned. But it'll go Reagan's. We believe in the first. It'll go Marsh. We believe in the second. For today. So let's see if they can get it done. How about it? I'm excited. I'm ready for this. I love day baseball, on a weekday especially. So I'm excited about this series against Cleveland. What do you think? Real quick. Well, actually, let's hold that. We'll come back. We'll predict the series and what we'd like to see there. Probably the cop-out answer is the correct answer, but we'll see. 869-1240 is the number on the IHOP hotline. Stay tuned for details on a big concert giveaway. We'll have it all for you as we roll forward on Sports Daily. Welcome back. back in, everybody. Sports Daily on KFH. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Casper here, taking you through this Monday. Big Monday, big news coming in. So real quick, Tommy, and then we'll talk a little bit more about the Chiefs. This series against Cleveland, four games on the road, I'd say, you know, split is the floor, probably. Split would be what needs to happen. And, of course, you'd love to see more, especially with Cleveland somewhat struggling lately. You'd love to see three of four, but it's on the road, and I think we need to be realistic to two things. The Royals haven't been quite as good on the road, and they certainly haven't been good against good teams. So I think, realistically, we're probably looking for a split here and then take two or three in the home series later on.
Yeah, I like the idea of a split on the road, and you know, especially with the doubleheader today. I think you can't let today get away from you. You can't drop both of the games in the doubleheader, because that happens. Then again, the Royals are back in that position that they were in for a while, a few weeks ago, where it seemed like every series their backs were up against the wall, and they had like must-win games to salvage series. And so I don't think that that's a spot that the Royals want to be in for sure starting today. So it starts with that doubleheader. It's big. They've got to at least split today, and then that gives you a little bit more life going into the remainder of the series.
The challenge in a four-game series, too, we talk about this sometimes when you're playing head-to-head against somebody you're chasing, the outcomes skip a game. So you can either gain, in a normal series, three games, one game, or lose three games, right? In a four-game, it's a little bit different. It can go catastrophic. You can go four games, right? You can split, or two games. So that, you know, there are a lot of like the impact of the series could be massive. Even if you just lose the series and, you know, and they take three, you're going to lose two games on them. So there's a little bit of urgency to get it split. Let's talk about the Chiefs. Austin asked this, and it's a good question to get us right back into it. Is it pretty much a foregone conclusion that Tony is gone with the signing of Juju? We touched on this part of it. I think the two things, and if you missed it, the Chiefs signed Juju Smith-Schuster, which can be exciting news, right? We just don't know if it's exciting news, right? It can be exciting news if they were just like, you know what, let's just reunite with Juju Smith-Schuster and it's unrelated to anything else. That would be exciting, right? But it's probably related to something. Now, there, I think we've got three scenarios. It either is an indictment on the bottom end of what they foresee as a depth chart, which could include Kadarius Toney. I don't think it will. I think it's more the other guys. I think their decision on Toney is all about Toney. They either want him as a gadget player and his upside, or they don't. I don't think Juju would be taking his spot in a roster that they're constructing. I think it would either be Sky Moore or Justin Ross or Mecole Hardman. I think the Toney decision is probably separate. That's just my thought on it. And then I think you look at the two worst case scenarios, which would be an injury to Hollywood Brown is worse than we think, or Rashee Rice could be getting suspended soon. I think those are the more doomsday scenarios. I think a best case scenario is they just like Juju and, you know, they don't feel confident in the others and they just wanted to add depth. I would say there's better than 50% chance that that's the case still, but we got to pay attention to the other ones.
I think it can be all of the above. I think that that's probably a large part of it. Especially with the way that the bottom of the depth chart is shaking out. And look, I think both things can be true. I think that they can decide that Kadarius Toney is not going to be a member of this roster, and part of the reason that they got Juju Smith-Schuster was to bolster the wide receiver room. But then I also think that at the same time, there can be other players at the bottom of that depth chart that they are not enthralled with, at least by bringing them, you know, onto the active roster to start the season. I think that list probably includes Sky Moore. I think it probably includes Justin Ross. It might even include Mecole Hardman. And so I think that those are all names that, are probably right on the bubble. And once we get into what tomorrow looks like, if I were any one of those guys going into today before the Juju signing, I would have thought, all right, my chances are decent to make this roster. And now with Juju, I think everything is kind of thrown up in the air. Like, okay, maybe it's not a foregone conclusion that I end up on this roster. So I do think that, you know, regardless of a Hollywood Brown injury and what the longevity of the recovery looks like, I do think that the Chiefs ultimately probably assessed the way that a lot of these receivers performed in the preseason and thought, at the very least, we need to bring in some reinforcements and bolster this room. And look, here's the other thing too. The last time Juju Smith-Schuster was in the wide receiver room, remember, they put a lot of expectations on him. He had a prominent role in the offense. He doesn't necessarily have to have that and still be valuable to the Chiefs this year. Let's say that the Hollywood Brown injury is not something that extends long-term. Let's say that Rishi Rice doesn't have any sort of legal implications for this season. Juju Smith-Schuster can still be a valuable part of this offense.
Sure.
In a backup role, in a reserve role, fewer snaps than he had a couple of years ago when he was on the roster. It's an upgrade from the bottom part of that depth chart. There's no doubt about that.
There's no question. I would be surprised to help again answer Austin's question about Tony. I would be surprised if the wide receiver room includes Juju and also includes all of Hardman, Ross, and Sky Moore and not Tony, if that makes any sense. I would think it's far more likely that it includes Juju and not one of those guys. And then Tony becomes a totally separate decision. What concerns me about the signing, and it's not that I like Juju Smith-Schuster. What concerns me about the signing, Tommy, they could have signed Juju Smith-Schuster at any point, right?
Yeah.
That's the part where it's like something has happened to make them do this.
But don't you think it could be something as simple as, all right, we're through the preseason now and we don't like really what we've seen?
It could be. I hope it is. Yes, it absolutely could be. And again, I think it's probably a better than 50% chance that it is, but it's not much over 50%. I think they could have done that a long time ago. Why would you not want more time to work him in? You know what I mean? Like, if you were thinking about that, you do that before the final preseason game. And maybe it's just like you talk to Juju and he's like, man, I don't want to come to training camp. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think it would have made more sense if that was the outcome to do that a little bit earlier than now. So that's what has me wondering why. Right, is the timing. It's not that they're bringing Juju in, but they could have brought him in 2-3 weeks ago. They knew. They know that Juju Smith-Schuster's an upgrade over whatever, if they still view him that way, but they haven't had a chance to see him work. Right? That's what feels just a little bit like desperation's the wrong word, but you know what I mean. Reactionary. We'll call it that. That's what makes it feel a little bit reactionary today is just the timing of it, right? It's just why now and not earlier, unless something has changed. Rick says, just grind, trust Andy. I mean, everybody trusts Andy Reid. It has nothing to do with that, Rick. It's just why now, right? If it's as simple as Juju just makes the team better, heck yeah.
Best case scenario.
That really is.
That's best
that's
case scenario.
Great. That's
because
fantastic
think about it,
news.
Think about it this way. You've got, let's say that Hollywood Brown is able to return week one. Let's say best case scenario. I think that's unlikely at this point, but let's say that he does. Then you've got a wide receiver room of Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice, and then Juju Smith-Schuster backing them up. I mean, that becomes, again, a really good, like even better wide receiver room than what they had before. And, you know, as we mentioned, it doesn't necessarily have to be in relation. And I know you say reactionary, but it doesn't necessarily have to be in relation to something involving the top of the depth chart. It doesn't have to be related to the Brown injury or the Rice legal issues. It could just be reactionary based off of the assessment that the Chiefs made with the bottom part of that depth chart during the preseason and training camp.
I'm going to give you one more. I'm going to give you one more reason that this could be fine and nothing to worry about. They got Creed Humphrey signed to a long-term deal. That happened Thursday night. We talked about it briefly Friday morning. There is absolutely also a chance that they just had more money than they thought. Let me walk you through that. They targeted and we didn't know this, at least I didn't, that Creed Humphrey was a goal to get done now and not next offseason. So they know that. They know their budget. They know the cap. They know all these things. They get to the finish line with Creed Humphrey just in time. Now, after you get to that finish line, you basically have a working budget and you're like, you know what? We still got a little room left in the budget. Let's call Juju. We've had the conversations. We know what he wanted to come in. Hey, Juju, we do have the money. Let's get you in here. I think that is very much a possibility as far as timing, that it is more indicative of that Creed Humphrey deal. And again, that would lean and lend itself to a best case scenario. If that's the case, they didn't want to sign Juju and compromise their Creed Humphrey deal against the cap. Okay, now we can make it work. He's clearly going to be an upgrade. Let's get him in here. Again, better than 50% chance that that's the case. But the timing does, I think, need to perk our ears to some other possibilities. And that's all we're doing now. Why now, if you're the Chiefs? But either way, I mean, I think you're glad Juju's in the room now. I mean, he's going to help the room, even if he's physically not able to give you what he gave you 2 years ago. He's still going to help the room.
No doubt about that. He will be an upgrade. He clearly is. And I like a Juju Smith-Schuster role in this offense where it's not resting on his shoulders like it was a couple of years ago.
Right. Yeah.
And being able to be a complimentary piece with that offense and the familiarity and trust that he has with Patrick Mahomes, I'm all in. I think it's a really, really good signing overall. It bolsters their receiving core. But yeah, I think that there does need to be some clarity as far as what happens to the other pieces and what this is in relation to. We'll have some more clarity on this once we get through cut down day tomorrow.
Yeah.
Once we know who's actually on the final roster, then I think we can draw some more conclusions.
I mean, look, let me ask you this way. At Travis Kelce not included, what wide receiver on 3rd and 6 right now on the roster would you trust to get you a first down more than Juju Smith-Schuster?
Yeah.
Considering, I mean, all the unknowns we have
before
right
the signing, it was probably Travis Kelce, and then after that, I mean Justin Watson, maybe.
I mean, you know? you hope that it's Hollywood Brown, right?
For sure.
Hope that Xavier Worthy does that. Rashee Rice had a bunch of drops. He became that, but the point is that is Juju's. That's about probably all he's going to give you anymore.
Yeah.
But it's something that helps this team. So we'll keep our eye on it. Chiefs fans, don't worry. We'll get a lot of news on that this week. It's going to be a busy week because that is a high profile thing that's happening with rosters across the NFL, is this Chiefs wide receiver room decision. All right, let's take a quick break. 869-1240. Tommy will step out the rest of the way. I'll have you. We're going to get to that big concert giveaway we've been teasing. Jad and I'll have the details on that when we return, and a little bit more from around the sports world. It's Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Caster. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected. Thanks for listening to us on KFH, and we'll be right back. Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Tommy stepped out the rest of the way, no problem, because we've got an exciting giveaway to tell you about right now. First things first, is a portion of the program is brought to you by Crestview Country Club. I played Friday a full 18 out at Crestview, played the North Course for the first time since Memorial Day. Most of the time when I get out, it's just when I have time so I can get 9 in. It's one thing I love about Crestview, by the way. Is that I can just do that, pop out there, play as many holes as I can get in, and then pop off and not feel bad about it. But I played 18, kept it under 100, baby, which was my goal. It's not a lofty goal by any means. The funny thing is when I go out, it's usually with my kids, and we'll play like the front nine. So I hadn't played the back nine of the North Course in a long time, and it's a nice course, I'll say that. So we appreciate Crestview. Still plenty of good weather to get out there and golf. Give them a call. Tell them we sent you here from Sports Daily. We appreciate their support. All right, Jad, let's do this giveaway. First and foremost, Cody Jinks is coming to Intrust Bank Arena on November 23rd. Now, Cody Jinks in my lane of music right now at this portion of my life, very much a part of it. Hippies and Cowboys is my favorite song of his. It's one of my favorite songs of the last, I don't know, several years, because it reminds me of home. My very favorite bar, I used to joke, was a great mix of a bunch of cowboys and a bunch of hippies. Nobody cares. Everybody's having a good time. And then this song comes out. And then since he's got a lot of hits now, he's great. Jad, do you know who Cody Jinks is?
No.
I didn't think so.
Not really.
So it's,
I will
it's
say this,
very,
though. I've looked up some stuff since I've seen this. I've looked up some things. I'd be willing to give it a shot because I don't like a lot of country.
It's not country. That's the thing.
Technically, like the more old school country style and outlaw country, that doesn't bother me. I'm okay with that.
He is outlaw country. He's like big beard, Metallica shirt wearing, doesn't give a rip about he'll get classified as country, but outlaw country would be a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Whatever that is, Americana is kind of how I like, you know, songwriting, all that. So he's coming. People that are in that lane will love this. So Cody Jinks is coming on November 23rd. And what else you'll love is we've got your opportunity to win some tickets. Now, we'll have lots of opportunities to win. It's not like a daily winner, but we do have multiple sets. But you can enter this contest daily. Here's what you got to do. Interest Bank Arena, November 23rd. All you got to do is text the keyword Cody, C-O-D-Y. Cody, to short code 20357. Message and data rates apply. You can enter once a day. Again, that's Cody to 20357. I've got to get tickets to this. I got to go. He's one of those guys where I always say, oh, man, I wish I could see Cody Jinks. I was stunned to see him playing at Interest, which is really cool for him. I'm glad that Interest is bringing some of those bands in. So many great music venues here. But that'll be a fun one. Cody to 20357. That opportunity is open right now, and we'll go through that, I think, every day for a while here on Sports Daily. So we're looking forward to that one just a little bit. Again, if you missed the news of the day, it is that the Chiefs have signed Juju Smith-Schuster, something I don't think anybody saw coming until this morning. The implications of it, that's what we're trying to figure out. We'll hear, I think, from Andy Reid today. The schedule should get to normal working NFL. Now that we're through the preseason, it would be a bye week for every team, and it's a Thursday game, so it may be a little bit off, but I'm hoping we get some insight from the Chiefs on this today, and we'll look for that for you, and if we do, we'll maybe grab some of that audio for you for tomorrow as well, but we'll keep our eye out on that. But that is the news of the day.
Jacob, realistically, yes, do you think that Andy Reid is going to be telling us exactly what he's planning on doing?
No,
with this
he
pickup?
Won't. No. He definitely won't, but we can take the tone of it, right? I think the one scenario where we might get insight is if something was wrong with Hollywood Brown. That would be the one area where he could say, yeah, we're just trying to play it safe. You know, Hollywood Brown's out for what? I think that's about the only thing you could try to read between the lines on. He's not going to come out and tell us, yeah, we think Rashee Rice is going to get suspended. That will just happen, right?
Yeah.
He won't tell us that. But he could also help us understand if it's the best case scenario and it's just like about the roster and the roster cuts coming, that's where he might be able to give you a little insight. We love what he brings to the table, blah, blah, blah. That would, you know, if there's no mention of the other scenarios, you'd feel a little better that it's innocent and they just wanted to add him to the team. And maybe it does. And maybe you get a little insight too. Once we got Creed Humphrey done, we knew we could get this done. So it was an easy call for us. We wanted him to be on the team. I think there's some insight that could come from Reid, but no, Andy Reid never says anything like that directly.
Right.
But that's on the reporters there, and there are some great ones on the beat to inquire about the other scenarios, and then we can just sort of gauge his tone and reaction. You know, how much does that anger him, or is he just dismissive and flipping about? Who knows? Yeah. But we'll see if we get that today. But we'll keep an eye out. And if we do, Jeb, we'll try and get that for people tomorrow so they can jump to their own conclusions. All right, we're going to come back. We'll do a little housekeeping. We'll get you primed up for the Royals, a doubleheader today. You'll hear them both here on KFH and for free on the Odyssey app. Don't go away. Sports Daily wraps it up right after this.